As open floor plans become a lot more popular, you may be dreaming for rooms that flow into one another with no walls blocking the traffic or even the view.
Well, you can actually make that dream a reality. Opening up a wall and even a bearing wall is something that can be done if, and it's a big if, you take the proper precautions. Tom Silva, the general contractor from TV's This Old House, is a very cautious guy when it comes to doing these sorts of projects. He's here with some tips to help us get that job done. Tom, is this something a homeowner really can do?
They really can do it if they have some skills.
Wait, right. The question I think is, should they do it?
They shouldn't do anything until they know what they need to carry that load above. And to find that out, they should get a structural engineer involved first.
And that really is the key, because you can't take a load-bearing wall apart without supporting what it is bearing first.
Exactly. Unless you have some kind of a magic sky hook that will hold that hold that place up while you open it up below, it isn't going to happen.
Now, when you're looking at your home, any tips on which walls are the load-bearing walls? Are they perpendicular? Do they run the same direction as the front and back of the house?
Usually the structure that is above the load-bearing wall, the floor joist or the roof structure or whatever, a ceiling joist, are usually perpendicular to that load-bearing wall. A load-bearing wall usually is a 2x4, not a 2x3 wall. So you can have a wall that runs perpendicular to your joist. It can be a 2x3 wall, but that doesn't mean that that means that that load-bearing wall, that 2x3 wall, is not a load-bearing wall.
Right. That's more of just a partition wall at that point. Right. So let's just kind of give the listeners an overview of what the process is to remove or reconfigure a load-bearing wall. Let's say that we wanted to put an opening in a wall. We mentioned earlier, we start by supporting what's there now, correct?
Correct. And the way you support it is basically you build there's a few ways you can do it, but the way that I like to think about it is you build a wall next to the wall, and you build it close enough that it's going to carry the load above, but far enough away so that you can work there.
Get in between it and work
right.
on it.
In
right.
some cases, you have to build a wall on both sides of the load-bearing wall, depending on if the joists above the wall are lapped and sitting on top of the wall. In that case, you've got to support it on both sides.
So you build the support walls first. Then at that point, when you know that the load is now carried, now you can start doing your wall surgery on the load-bearing wall, correct?
Right. And I like to do the wall surgery very gingerly. First, before I even build my load-bearing walls, I remove the plaster so I can then assess the situation. I then build my load-bearing wall, whether I need one or two load-bearing wall. Once that's in place, they're nice and tight, I then take and start by cutting with a reciprocating saw each stud one at a time. When I cut my first stud, I don't remove it. I cut the next stud, don't remove it, and so on down the line. And when you make a cut with a reciprocating saw, you will know if there is load on it because the blade will jam up.
Right, it'll pinch the blade, it'll come down and right. pinch it, and then you know it's still under pressure.
Exactly. So what you can do is what I do, if there is still some pressure on the wall, I go back and make a second cut in the same cut. And when I get, let's say all the way down the road, let's say I'm cutting out 6 2x4s, and the first time I made a cut, there was a little bit of weight on it. I know if my blade doesn't get pulled out of my saw and that saw doesn't knock me on the ground, that there's some pressure on my temporary walls. But I still don't remove them until that blade goes through every single cut that I made very easily. Slips through, then I can remove my structure.
And is that just a matter of readjusting the two sort of temporary load-bearing walls that you've made? Maybe the height's off, maybe they're not spaced correctly to sort of correct that situation?
Yeah, maybe you just didn't make them tight enough when you put it in. And those load-bearing walls, you think about it, when those load-bearing walls are going to pick up a load above, they're putting tension on the joist below.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be some deflection in that floor also. So you want to make sure that they're tight. Usually the rule of thumb I use is if you need a stud that's 89 inches to get it in there and it meshes nice, make it 89 1/4.
Just to get a little pressure on
it. Yeah, and jam them in. And then when you build that temporary wall, when you have your studs that are 16 on center, then take a cross brace across the middle and make a horizontal board also. That will lock them together and it keeps them from bowing.
Right, because that 1/4 inch can be taken up by the flex in the stud.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, now once we get it supported, once we've got the studs cut out, of course we have to now replace that structural assembly. I think it's important to note that you have to be very careful at this point, because the more studs you take out, the beefier that replacement structure has to be. If you're going to change, for example, say a 3-foot archway to a 6-foot archway, you're going to need a bigger header. And you're also going to need to make sure that wherever those studs that are holding that header in place, wherever they hit, there's something underneath, right?
Yeah, that's right. There's a point load that becomes at the end of each stud that you have to address. And the opening that you make, if a rule of thumb that I think about when I'm making an opening and there's one level above, it's a 1-to-1 ratio. So 6 feet wide would be 6 inches high, and they would be two by sixes with a piece of plywood sandwiched between them. When they then on each end, they would rest on what is called a jack stud, and next to that would be a king stud. Those studs have to rest on the plate of the existing wall, but you have to make sure that what is below it is be able to support that also.
So suffice to say, if you understand what we're explaining to you right now, you may be able to do this project yourself.
Right.
If you have no clue, call a contractor.
Call a contractor that does know how to do it, because, yeah, you don't want the second floor on the first floor.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
We have a set of stairs for that.
All right, Tom, before we let you go, I want to point out that there's one other part of this that I think people don't consider when it comes to reconfiguring their walls, and that's the mechanical systems. It's not just the wood that you're cutting. Start taking that wall apart, you could have some mechanical surprises as well, right?
All sorts of problems in those walls to deal with. There's electrical, that if you cut that before you've removed the plaster so you can see it, you could start a fire, you could get shocked, you could burn yourself. If there's plumbing, you'll get soaking wet and you'll cause some damage. And if there's ductwork, you got to figure out how you're going to reroute it.
So the bottom line is, this is a project that can be done. There's a lot that goes into it and a lot of thought, a lot of planning that has to happen before you pick up that saw and start cutting studs out of the way. Tom
right.
Silva, general contractor from TV's This Old House, great advice. Thanks so much for stopping by the Money Pit.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. You can catch the current season of This Old House and Ask This Old House on PBS. For local listings and step-by-step videos of many common home improvement projects, visit thisoldhouse.com.